You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. I am thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled all of you are here, and I'm thrilled. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and it's always a pleasure when we get together for this show. I'd like to ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us and tell us your name, your tribe, and share what's on your heart today?
Hello, my name is Jack Flute Holland of the band Crazy Flute. And we are a state-recognized tribe, Cherokee of Georgia, located down in the south, very south portion of Georgia. And just really happy to be able to be on here today and have some fun time with you.
Oh, we're thrilled that you're here. Welcome to our show. I always like to talk to you. And I'm excited because I think I get to say congratulations to you, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
oh,
it's been a pretty good night.
Oh, congratulations. Now tell us why we're all excited.
Well, our band got nominated in three categories for this year's Native American Music Awards, which if anybody doesn't know what the Native American Music Awards are, it's the largest indigenous music awards around. So it's a pretty big honor to be able to be nominated amongst all the insanely great talent that's out there that submitted.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, congratulations. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, like I said, we're very happy.
Yes. Well, I remember when I won my Native American Music Award for Best Gospel Inspirational back in 2013. It was a tremendous experience, and it was a great blessing. And so that's why I'm so happy that you're about to have this same wonderful ride. The nominations, the winners, all of it is just marvelous. And I'm so thankful that you're included because, like you said, it is an amazing array of talent. It's our Grammy, and it's amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel?
Pretty good. This will be our, hopefully if we can pull a win, this will be our second time, you know, winning. We won our very first NAMI at the 2019 Native American Music Awards
awesome.
For Best Instrumental Album.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
that's wonderful. Well, I'm going to congratulate you on that, too.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It. Like I said, it happened right before the pandemic hit, and then this is the first awards show that they're having, which is going to be sometime in spring or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how they're going to go about it, if it's going to be online or in person or part in person, part in line. Mm-hmm. Don't know yet. We haven't heard anything on it, but this will be the first show back since 2019, so it's pretty intense, and we submitted our last album, Rise, which is really cool. We just sent out for release, waiting for everything to come online, our new album, Battle Cry.
Wow! Congratulations again. That's
great.
Yeah,
thank you.
News.
This will be our sixth studio album.
My goodness. You know, one of the things I love, you know, we're always happy for anyone who wins or nominated for anything. I mean, you know, because I really feel like if one of us achieves, we all achieve. So I'm always excited for that. But it's really wonderful when you achieve because you're so humble and kind and you're a blessing to everybody. And so it's just, it's like doubly exciting when something good happens to you because I feel like it shows the very best of who all of us are, regardless of our tribes or our nations.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, everything we've got that we're doing, we don't own it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's on loan to us by
That's
our
right.
ancestors. And then it's something we're leaving for our descendants, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. And so I want to ask you, what do you want the legacy of your music to be? These wonderful awards and accomplishments are so great. And the music itself, it sounds so just radiant, really. But what do you want your legacy that you leave to be?
Oh, wow. That's, I guess, probably the biggest thing that I would like for people to take away in future generations is that you can start out with absolutely nothing and make something out of what you're doing if you just believe in it and have the right support group around you, you know. Because, like, you know, we started out as a street performing group in Chattanooga, Tennessee, literally with a tip bucket, a drum, and a flute. And now, you know, as I've told people before, we're sitting here now, we have our own full recording studio. Our sixth album is out.
My goodness.
You know, we've gotten tons of nominations since we started in 2016. We've had 9 national and international music award wins, you know, and it's pretty insane, you know what I mean, to think that, you know, for all these years, I sat around thinking I couldn't do this, and somebody, my wife, came into my life and inspired me to make this happen, and all it takes is a little belief in yourself, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you're starting out with, you know, I mean, I started out in this studio with like $150 worth of gear, you know.
Wow. Wow. See, that's important. I'm so thankful you're willing to be, you know, you have so much integrity, and I'm so thankful you're willing to be transparent, because we have a lot of homeschoolers that listen to this show. We have a lot of university and college classes that assign this show as part of the curriculum. And so that means have young people listening, you know, who right now might be feeling like they can't follow their dreams. You know, they may be dreaming of music or dreaming of just something that they want to do in life. And then they look around and think, wow, they don't have the resources or the money or the help. And so that's why I think what you're saying is so precious, because you're encouraging somebody right now. So go ahead on and encourage somebody. Our young people that are listening, can you speak directly to them and help them to chase their dreams?
I can do my best.
All right.
I can tell you guys that are listening is, you know, don't give up. You know what I mean? Nothing is impossible. I saw a thing on the internet that said the word impossible, if you break it apart, is I'm possible. And just, you know, move forward. You don't have to have the best of everything to get started, because the best of everything is already in you with what it is you're trying to create, you know. And even if what you do 5 years from today is better than what you did today, I can tell you this, what you're doing today is your best. And as long
as
you continue to do your best, give your 100% effort and dedication to what you're doing, then there's no such thing as, you know, something that you didn't do well, because you gave 100% of yourself to it. And that makes what you do now just as relevant and exceptional as what you'll do 5, 10, 15 years from now, you know. So hang on to whatever that fire is. Don't let the world get in the way. Always make time, even if you're working a job and trying to balance going to school, or if you're, you know, in, high school or, you know, middle school and things like that, you know, and you're balancing homework and your home life and chores and things, always keep in mind what you're doing. Always do a little something every day that pushes towards what it is that you eventually want to do. Define your goal and don't give up on it. When I was in my 20s, I decided that's when I wanted, you know, I was learning how to play the flute in my teen years, and then I figured I'd love one day to make music, and I didn't start making music until 2016, and you know, I'll be 50 years old in 3 months, you know. So, you know, don't convince yourself you can't do this. You know what I mean? I sit and think, you know, I wonder what I could have been doing now if I'd have had the courage to start when I did.
Yeah.
You know, or when I wanted to. So, you know, just keep shooting for that dream. You know what I mean? you always got to keep shooting for that dream. You know, do what you have to till you can do what you want to. You know what I mean?
Good words. Really good words. Thank you. And, I mean, I'm encouraged by what you just said. And I really believe, my granddaddy used to say that everybody has somebody that they'll listen to. And everybody has somebody that they're assigned to. Like, there's someone who will help you. There's someone who believes in you. And you mentioned your delightful wife. And I would love it if you would give us some good insights and some good help, because we hear a lot of people bashing relationships these days. I don't know, you know, you go on the internet, people are talking how bad marriage is, or people aren't getting married, or people are, oh, this and that and this. And but here's an example of a wonderful, loving marriage, and I really want to lift that up. I want to make a lot out of that, especially for our young people. Help us with that.
Well, the first thing I like to tell people, you know, this is my second marriage. I had a huge hand in making a mess of my first marriage. You know, it wasn't all her fault. You know what I mean? And, you know, you have to know who you are, get to know yourself, you know, before you can really engage in a, you know, relationship, and especially a marriage. When you get married, you know, you have to give up the idea that it's all going to be, you know, rainbows and unicorns and happy days, you know. A marriage takes work. There are days that, you know, not that you don't love each other, but there's days you don't like each other. You know what I mean? You know, because it's two people who are two different entities learning to exist together. And, but anything worth having is worth putting work into. And, you know, a marriage is something that you should put the work into, you know, and really, really evaluate everything before you decide to get married, because I think marriage is beautiful. You know,
yes, it is.
It doesn't have to be all this ugly that people say it is, you know, and all it takes is a little looking inside yourself and, you know, not being afraid to, you know, ask the big questions and the hard questions when you meet somebody. You know, and be yourself. Oh, man, be yourself. Don't put a representative forward, you know. There's only, you know, if you're a goofy, you know, fun-loving kid that likes to, you know, play video games, don't try to come across like you're the martial arts kingpin, tough guy, everything, man, because you can't keep that act up forever, especially when you let somebody inside your world. They're going to see everything in your world, because you can't, this is my experience, you can't have any secrets from the person that you love. A secret from the person that you love is inherently built in a lack of trust. And trust is, to me, in some ways, the ultimate form of love. You know, to be able to open up and bare yourself and leave yourself vulnerable to what somebody might or might not say or might not think, you know? So take that, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend, it's the same kind of thing, you know. Be present and give 100% of yourself to it. You know what I'm saying? And don't be afraid, if it's not working out, to gently walk away. It doesn't have to be a big, crazy thing. You know what I mean? If you're honest from the start, things may not be easy, but they're not going to be horrendous down the road. You know, so honesty and trust, you know, and being willing to compromise. Most people run into problems because they're not willing to compromise. And compromise is selflessness, in my opinion, you know. And it's a two-way street on that. You know, both people, you know, have to compromise in a relationship. But for me, you know, I've really had to, you know, do a lot of, you know, I don't know, soul searching. I was single for 15 years before I met my wife. And so I was very used to doing things my way. You know what I mean? And handling things my way. You know, if you have a temper, get that under control. I was working on putting together an entertainment or a sound system for my TV one day. And I was getting frustrated, very frustrated. And I was kicking and hollering and, you know, really angry because I couldn't figure it out. And it was frustrating me. And my wife got upset, and I was mad because she was upset. And I looked at her, and I said, why are you upset. This has not a single thing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me. She was crying, and she looked at me, and she goes, because when you're angry, I'm afraid of you.
Oh, my.
And that, I'm talking about full stop.
Right.
Okay? The last thing I would ever want is the person that I love and confide most in the world to be scared of me.
That's right.
And that solved that real quick. You know what I'm saying? I started contemplating every action, you know, and going, is it really worth this? Just like if you have disagreements, you know, you have to ask yourself, is this going to matter, you know, a month from now? And mm-hmm. if what you're fighting about or arguing about isn't going to matter a month or now or 2 months from now, don't fight about it.
That's right.
Find a way to compromise. Give a little of yourself
mm-hmm.
in the situation, you know, because pride will destroy a marriage.
Mm. This is how we learned, all of our ancestors, you know. This is how we learned as tribal people, indigenous people. We had conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When young people started being interested in someone else, thinking about playing the flute to get their attention,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, people who had some more life experience and some wisdom would talk to them, pour into them. And I think a lot of what's going on, even today in our society, is because people aren't having real conversations about real things that matter.
No, you know? People sit around and they mm-hmm. just wait for their turn to speak.
That's right. That's right. And so when we have these kinds of conversations, I really believe people get set free, they get healed, they get encouraged, they get inspired and uplifted. And that's also what happens. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I believe the exact same thing.
Yeah. I think it's so, this is education, you know. And so I appreciate your being willing to be authentic. Because there's some people, our friends, listening right now that lives are changing. Lives are changing. All it takes is one conversation to start just about anything that you want in life. And so I want to continue on with your wisdom and what you can share with us. How do you create a balance between such a successful musical career and your home and family life?
Believe it or not, my home life, the way I work this, is that when I'm at home,
mm-hmm.
I dedicate everything to being at home. I'm present at home,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm not talking about the music all the time. I'm
mm-hmm.
not, you know, worrying about award shows. I'm not stressing over, you know, this potential powwow or this potential festival and, you know, worrying about contracts and hassle for pay and all this other stuff. You know, when I'm at home, I dedicate, because when we're on the road, my wife dedicates 100% of herself to our musical journey. You know, my wife handles, you know, booking shows. She handles
mm-hmm.
dealing with the contracts. She handles, you know, all the logistics of this. She handles the money at the booth, you know, everything. She makes sure all I got to do is put my things in the vehicle and go
wow.
to the show, set my gear up, play my set, which she even joins me on occasion with the hand drum when my regular drummer Keith isn't able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I talk about by compromise, you know, earlier. She does that for me, so I do this for her. Right now, she's up in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And mm-hmm. yeah, and well, that's where she's from, is Columbus.
Okay.
She was raised there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's up there working at one of the Amazon facilities, and she's been up there since November. And she won't be back home full-time until May.
Okay.
And I'm not happy that she's gone, you
right.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that compromise, she has supported me in my music
mm-hmm.
and given 100% of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And music isn't her thing. She'll be the first to tell you she doesn't like flute music that much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's not a fan of flute music, you know. She likes mine all right because I'm upbeat and hyper, she says. And it's not
yeah.
the, you know, put you to sleep music you hear a lot out there today. But, you know, she still is there at the show. She knows my music. She knows my CDs. She can sell my CDs. You know, she's not been raised in an indigenous culture, and she dives right in. Any mistake she makes, she owns it and rolls on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the least I can do, because what she's doing is very good. She's been trying to make what's happening right now happen since she started with that company. Mm-hmm. And she finally got the opportunity, and it meant she had to go up there. And so I may not care for her being gone, but I'm going to support her regardless, because that is what you do in a marriage.
Yes. Yes. I appreciate your candor. I really do, because I think this is how we grow, you know, and we learn. And you're right. And I wonder, the balance. I love the fact that you're willing to share so much balance with us and how we get there from here. And so what happens next with your music? I know that you have so many awards and people enjoy your music so much. And do you still have dreams and goals you want to accomplish in your music?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got this idea that I want to do an album called What the Flute. And what it is I want to get together with, you know, Louisiana swamp zydeco musicians and hardcore heavy metal musicians and blues musicians and country and jazz and, you know, Japanese artists, and do this whole album where I'm playing the flute with every type of genre of music that I can put people together to get done and showcase exactly the versatility of our, you know, little traditional instrument.
I'd love it if you would share about this particular instrument. You know, we have listeners from all over the world, and we love them very much. And we find that so many other countries have flutes or some form of the flute that they play. But what specifically is the Native American flute?
Well, they've got examples of the Native American flute, 10, 15,000 years old, that they found made out of a condor wing bone.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, worldwide, there's some flutes they found in France that go back 40,000 years that are made out of bone of some kind. They think it's also maybe condor or eagle, because those are large birds with large wing bones. But the North American flute, Native American flute, is, you know, mostly it was a social instrument from the things that I can find. I know some tribes used it in a ceremonial context, but a lot of times it was a social instrument. I could imagine it being used to signal with, making sounds. You know, say you were separated, you're out hunting, you could call somebody with that, so to speak, you know, ye olde cell phone there. Or, you know, but it's become so much more since those days. You know what I mean? It's simply grown. You know, it used to be a by itself instrument is what I call it. You know, you didn't play it with other instruments. A person created a song, and it was created, and they made the flute to match that song. So the flute would play a particular way for a particular song. And then you start moving all through the years and the decades. You know, some cultures used it as a courting instrument for a young man to get a young woman's attention so they could, you know, potentially be able to start the process of starting a relationship. You had, you know, some, like I said, I cannot remember all the, there's a handful of tribes that I know of that the flute was used in a ceremonial context, because a lot of the old, you know, ways involved when you made music, bad spirits couldn't be around a joyful sound because it made them want to dance and move, and they didn't like happiness. So they would avoid those areas, which is the reason you see a lot of the ceremonies have rattles and drums during the ceremony and singing, because it brought people together in harmony. And then, you know, it further added, you know, to the banishment, the blocking of all this bad stuff coming around among the people. So, you know, and now you come up to now, and the flute has become an entertainment instrument, you know what I mean? you know, in the mid 80s, it gained a proper like pentatonic scale, you know, that it's been able to be used with modern instruments, European style instruments. You know, the flute today is, and people get mad at me when I say it, but it's more of a European instrument that's based on a native design. It still has a distinctive sound because it's, you know, still made very much the same way. You know, you can still get that classic sound out of it. You know what I mean? But it's progressed. I mean, you've got triple, you know, dual chamber, triple chamber flutes, you know, that are fairly modern design. You've got, they're in all types of tuning, Lydian scale, diatonic scale, you know, Hiroshi scale, all these different music scales that you can do, you know, side blown, rim blown, you know what I mean? You know, it's just wild. And the flutes are now, you know, more to the point of they're for entertainment purposes. You know what I mean?
I see.
And I kind of aggravate people with this one too, because I don't put a lot of value in the spiritual nature of the instrument itself. You know, I think I said this, you know, the last time I spoke with you, that the, you know, spirit of the, you know, when you're playing a flute, the spirit comes from the player, not the instrument. It's a piece of wood or a piece of PVC or a piece of bone. You know, anything that is done magically or mystically for an audience, it's not the flute doing that. It's the player, you know, the spirit, the soul, and the, you know, medicine come from the person playing. And so that's how I view that, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, a lot of people seem to put a lot more stock into the flute as being some, you know, need to be revered instrument. And the reason I came to this conclusion is people have often told me because of the speed, because I can play very, very fast. And, you know, I get out there and like jam and rock on the flute. I've been, you know, not, I don't do cover songs, but I've been nicknamed, one group of people called me the Stevie Ray Vaughan of native flute.
Wow.
You know, some people have called me the speed metal flute player because I can play fast, really, really, really fast. And people are like, well, you're disrespecting the flute. I'm like, the flute's not a sentient being. You know, what I think, you know, what I tell people is that what I've done is offended your sense of decorum with the flute. But I do things my own way. That's another thing I tell people. Don't be afraid to be original either. You know, when you're doing anything, be yourself, let yourself shine through, because what you're doing is leaving something for the future of yourself. So don't feel like you have to conform to what others around you say is the right way. Find your own way and make it work. Because to me, that's how tribal societies develop. You know, that's how societies around the world developed. You know, they didn't just do things one way. They innovated. They said, well, this is the way this guy's doing it. How can I do it different? And that's how we got, you know, distinct ways with our people, you know, and all other peoples. Because if you go far enough back on a timeline, every race of people on Earth comes from a tribal bloodline.
That is so important. I'm so thankful that you said that, because it means that we're connected in a good
way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's really positive. When we come back from commercial break, we're going to have much more of this amazing conversation. And so I'd like to say thank you to all our sponsors who make this show possible. And when we come back, oh, we'll be so glad that there's more.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are three boys.
voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I can't believe you found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
What a wonderful, wonderful conversation we're having. It's full of good news and good insights and wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And those are all wonderful things that we have thanks to our guest today. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
Absolutely. My name is Jack Flute Holland of the band Crazy Flute.
Where'd you get a name like Crazy Flute?
I was sitting around, had a powwow back when I first started learning how to play. A gentleman named Tom Minton was kind of my flute Yoda. I'd been given a flute a few years before I met Tom. I was a teenager. I was like, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given a flute because I was hanging out with my ex-wife, and she was, she had Cherokee blood and everything, and, one of her friends who her family went to church with was a flute maker. And I went to a powwow. Yeah, Memorial Day powwow, I think, in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I went to the powwow because I was living out there in Fort Smith, Arkansas at the time. And I went to this show to help this guy out, just because he didn't have anybody there with him. And so I'm running around helping him out, going and getting stuff for him all day long, the whole weekend. And it gets to the end of the show, and he looks at me, and he goes, I'm having a problem with some of these flutes. And he played a few. He goes, which one of these do you think sounds the best? And I picked one, and he handed it to me and said, you can have it. And I said, I can't afford this flute. I can't pay for this, And he said, I'm not asking you to pay. He goes, if you feel you need to give me something, come back in 1 year to this powwow and play me a song.
Wow.
And I went and did that. The song that I learned to play, I think, is either on Starbright or We Belong to the Music. It's called The Beatnik Indian.
Mm.
Because I got exiled to my front porch, basically, because of how bad I played. And I felt like this, kind of cool cat out on the beach, snapping my fingers, what I mean? Wearing the bohemian clothes. And I remembered when I was younger, my grandparents called people like that beatniks.
Wow.
So I adopted that term. Well, I went back and played him the song, and I was ready to be done with the flute at that point. But I was at a powwow, another powwow. I can't remember which powwow it was, but it was in Tahlequah, Oklahoma again. And there was a flute player playing. I'm not sure who it was. But me and a friend of mine were walking around, and they were like, I love the flute music. And I started going off, well, it's, not really that great of an instrument, and blah-de-blah. It's limited. It can't do all this stuff. And this gentleman heard me from his booth, and he came out and read me the Riot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to show me all this stuff that the flute could do that I had no clue it could do because I was limiting my imagination with what it could do.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Tom Minton. He was from Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, right up the road.
He is a phenomenon. He makes a cane flute.
Yeah.
And I've still got, you know, a flute for me. I've still got that original flute that I was given, by the way, at the first powwow out there that I was at with these people. But he became my flute Yoda. So I was at a show. I started following him around to shows and stuff, you know, because there's powwows all over Oklahoma and Arkansas. And I went out to a show, and he said, hey, if you'll watch the booth for a couple hours, I will bring you some food back. And I'm always ready to work for food, right? So, yeah, so I'm sitting there, and I'm tooting around on these flutes as people are walking by. And this, you know, group of people come up, and they're like, hey, that sounds pretty good. And I said, if you think that's good, and I don't know what possessed me to do this, I said, watch this. And I crammed the flute in my nose.
Wow.
And started playing super fast.
Oh, wow.
And the guy referred to me as the craziest flute he had ever seen.
Wow.
And so my buddies who were with me, who were also mooching food off of poor Tom, they were like, you're a crazy flute. And it stuck. I've never been, you know, in some situation where I've been given a ceremonial name. You know what
right.
I mean? Nothing like that. You know, it stuck, and I've been called flute since I was 19 years old. And when I decided in 2016 that I was going to start a band, I thought, I'll just call it Crazy Flute.
I love it. I love it. What a great story. You know, names are such an important part of our culture. You know, folks get names in ceremonies. They get names from the community, change their
right.
names when milestones happen, you know. And so I always love to hear the stories of naming, especially one like that that has an adventure in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything in my life is pretty much an adventure. I mean, that's just how I gear my life, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
I look for the off-road, the non-beaten path, you know. Me and my wife, we have to leave sometimes 2 days early for a show because it's going to be like, hey, let's stop at this little town. Let's stop at this little place. Let's talk to these people at the rest stop. You know what I mean?
And
you know,
because so,
I enjoy the weird yeah. interactions and just, you never know what somebody's going to say at one moment that's going to make a whole bunch of stuff in your life fall into place.
Thank you for saying that, because that is the treasure, I think, of it all. You know, the treasure is the people and the conversations and the moments that we have along the way to our destination. And so, can you share with us a few of your favorite flute adventures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of my favorite ones was my very first year, 2016, well, for the 2017 NAMMYs. We got our very first nomination on our very first album, okay? And we went up to Niagara Falls.
So fun.
And we're up there at Niagara, and we took a ride on that, the Maid of the Mist, or whatever it's called. I think it's, yeah, it's the boat.
Yeah, the Maid of the Mist,
the
I think, yeah, that's what
yeah,
it is.
Maid of the Mist. And we're down there, and everybody's down there, you know what I mean? There's not that many of the people, like, who are nominated for the NAMMYs down there, but, you know, a whole lot of tourists and stuff. And I had one of Tom Minton's flutes because it was wet down there, and I decided that I was going to play on the boat while are going in right up next to the waterfall. So I'm standing out here, or out there, in November, October at that time, getting drenched with water, playing the flute like crazy, and I've got half the boat is dancing and clapping along while I'm doing it. And that was some neat, you know, fun stuff right there. You know, I've had some quirky, you know, adventures. We have a place down here called the Winston House, which is a center for the criminally insane.
Oh.
And I was asked for their, you know, basically best behavior, you know, wards mm-hmm. to come down and play some music because the area is called Moccasin Bend. And it's, you know, the whole thing is built on a desecrated burial ground.
Oh, okay.
And there's still burials there.
Oh, my.
So they were trying to do this Native American thing. And I get down there. And I, you know, am playing for these people. And, I mean, you know, these people are, you know, they're there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they all start getting up and dancing and hooting and hollering, and they start talking about all the other people that are behind me. And, you know, it scared me to death.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I was like, oh, what's about to happen, you know?
Wow.
And, I mean, yeah, and, you know, they're sitting in there hollering out all kinds of crazy stuff to me, and, you know, that was definitely an adventure there. That was the one and only time I've played at a mental center.
That's an adventure. I would call that an adventure, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. What? And I've had little adventures, like at powwows where I'll be playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't try to make everything, you know, a mystical experience.
Okay.
But I have played at powwows where I have had red-tail hawks, a bald eagle one time, circle the arena while I was playing. I had four crows land in the circle while I was playing and sit there and diddy bop around almost in time to the music even, you know. And down in Florida, I had a bunch of, they've got these birds called grackles.
Mm-hmm.
That look like really shiny crows with big long tail feathers. I had a bunch of those land in the dance circle while I was performing. You know, so there's something with birds and the flute. It might be the pitch of the flute or whatever, but it tends to attract birds, and that's always pretty wild because the crowd loves that stuff.
Sure.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here just as amazed as they are. I'm like, look at the birds. You know.
Oh, you have had some truly wonderful experiences, and I'm so thankful that you're willing to share them with us. And that makes me think of people, you know, like you said, the people that you've been able to meet along the way, the people that you've uplifted with your music, and the people who've helped you also as learn to play and all of that. And so that makes me think of a very treasured group. We have a lot of elders that listen to this show, elders that come from all different cultures, and some of them are in tribal programs and programs where they listen to this show as part of what they do to enrich their day. And so I would be so honored if you would say a few words to our friends who are elders who are listening right now.
The biggest thing I can say is thank you.
Yes.
For having hung on despite all the attempts to wipe out language, to wipe out the stories, to wipe out, you know, the culture. You guys, our elders, you have held on to all of this so stubbornly and doggedly and not, you know, given in to having it taken away from you. You endured so much. So we don't have to endure that much, and we still have a link. And I, for one, am incredibly thankful because without that link to our elders, we're lost from our, you know, ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the elders are so important to everything we are and everything we do. And every ounce of respect should be given to elders, you know, when they've got something to say. You know, I'd say this to the young people, you know, make the time to go and learn, present yourself in a good way, and really be interested and really learn, because one day you're going to be the elder passing on this information and this knowledge. And what the elders do for us is it's at the heart of everything we are, because without the culture and without language, those are the things that make up Indigenous identity. You know, our bodies will die away. Our DNA will die away. It will rot in the earth. But who we are, the eternal parts of who we are that are most affected by the knowledge we gain of those ancient ways that teach us how to live with the earth and live with each other and be respectful of life and the journey we take as human beings from birth to death. You know, it teaches us, you know, elders teach how to be born, how to live, and they teach you how to die, you know, and that is so important. And, you know, without all that, we'd just be two-legged animals, you know.
Right.
I've always said, if you take, you know, a kid, no matter what race he is, and put him with a different cultural group and raise him that way, that's who he is. You know, it doesn't matter if he came from, you know, take a little white kid and raise him on the reservation somewhere in the most traditional ways possible. He's going to be different than his contemporaries who were raised in suburbia.
Right.
Because the content of his soul, what he knows, how he was taught to relate to the world, that's going to be who he is. Because the rest of him is going to die away. So I've always said that outer shell really doesn't matter much. You know what I mean? And I learned that from elders, you know, really old school traditional elders who have always, you know, said it doesn't, you know, your body dies away. You know, some of the old interpretations of the medicine wheel represented a emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental aspect of who we were as people, one of the many teachings of that medicine wheel. And only one of those things, it has no permanence to it. You know, the rest of it, the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspect of who we are, continues on for eternity. So, you know, why should we focus on the body and stuff? And that's just some of the little things that the elders teach, you know, and they keep alive the very essence of who we are as Indigenous people.
Absolutely. So well said. And we treasure and cherish our elders. So I thank you so much for making time to show them how much we love them. And this is a fun moment. This is a fun moment for me. Because I hope someone's inspired to play the flute or to play an instrument or to learn their language or whatever, start to dance or attend powwows or make a shawl or a ribbon skirt or just some wonderful thing, even from other cultures, because every culture is tribal at its roots, you know, and so what comes from your heritage? And so let's say that someone right now thinks, wow, I wish I could play the flute. What are the steps that you recommend that they take?
Go either online. I would suggest going to a powwow where you can meet a flute maker, somebody who has flutes for sale, and have them play the flutes for you so you know that they sound good. And then literally find something that you can afford. There are great flutes for not much money. You can get some flutes out there for, you know, 40, 50 bucks. You know what I mean? And then literally, you know, usually the flute maker will give you some tips. If you tell them, hey, I've never played a flute before and I'm interested in learning, they'll usually, you know, take you right in because, hey, you're a potential future customer. You know what I mean? You know, and most of these flute makers really believe in keeping the flute alive, too, you know. But and then just take the time and practice. You know what I mean? Take what you learn. And just dedicate, like I was talking about earlier, dedicate a little bit of time every day to what you're doing. Research what you're doing. There's so many resources that you can look up online. There's a site called Flutopedia.com.
Oh, okay.
And Flutopedia has an immense amount of knowledge about how to play the flutes, about music theory, about all the different kinds of scales and alternate fingerings you can play on the flute. It teaches you, they've got a whole series of videos. I think the guy's name is Clint Goss, who does the videos. And, I mean, he teaches you everything from how to do accent notes and ghost notes and trills and how to use silence in a song to create atmosphere with what you're playing. So all these things are out there for you. And just go. And the biggest piece of advice is don't be afraid to be different and unique and find your own voice. You know, tell your own truth through the flute and don't compare yourself to other flute players because everybody's at a different point in their journey and everybody's expressing themselves through the flute. So there's not a right way to be there with the flute. What you're doing is as right as it can be for you at that moment, as long as you're 100% honest with the flute and honest with yourself and you just relax and just, you know, play. You know, there's, I tell people there's no wrong note.
That is a really courageous way to look at it. Because I think so often, especially in all tribal cultures, there's almost a separation between traditional and modern, right?
Like, there is.
And so what do we do with that? Like, people want you to take sides. You know, well, this is tradition. This is the way we've always done it. We always do it this way. It always looks like this. It always sounds like this. And then modern, which is saying, okay, we're going to embrace technology, or we might embrace other cultures or ideas, wishes. What do we do with that?
Balance, like you were talking about earlier,
okay.
In a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual has a relationship with those old ways. I believe some things are supposed to be done a certain way. Ceremony shouldn't
sacred
be
thing.
Open. Yeah, shouldn't be open to interpretation,
right.
You know. Those
mm-hmm.
things are done a certain way for a certain reason, and there's no reason for them to change, you know, because
mm-hmm.
part of who we are is about discipline and dedication. If you go to a ceremony and you don't like what's going on because it's, you know, too difficult or it's strenuous to do, and you go home and change it,
mm-hmm.
me personally, I would frown at that. So, you know, we can have technology and we can have modern ways, you know, and it doesn't make you any less indigenous. You know, because you embrace modern things, doesn't make you any less indigenous if you are learning your language or anything, or learning your own culture. You know, what makes you indigenous is the attempt to connect, an honest, heartfelt attempt to connect to that line that's been there since the beginning of ancestral people. And, you know, to me, that's the whole point of it. You know what I mean? You can be indigenous and like anime, you know what I'm saying, and be enthralled
right,
with Japanese
right.
culture, you know. You can be indigenous and, you know, love doing martial arts or love learning to play polka music, you
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being indigenous doesn't dictate what you are allowed to do, because you're still a human being in a world community that has been brought right into your living room by your computer screen. Everything's accessible now. You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's so much more out there, and it is a global community now. We can't live as isolated communities because we'll get left behind.
Wow.
And that is assured destruction of everything that we are, you know, because the knowledge needs to continue forward. And even if that means, you know, you've got a Caucasian person that comes around and shows a true spirit to want to learn for the right reasons, and they're not going to take and go out and try to make money off ceremony and stuff, you know what? Teaching them is not a bad idea, because you don't know who they're going to carry that knowledge to.
When I think of building community in the way that you're talking about, that's really decolonizing, right?
Yeah,
when we
it
say,
is.
When we say to folks, hey, no, decolonization really means that we can be who we really are as Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can have the friends that we really want to have, and we can do the things we really want to do. That is decolonizing. It really is. And we always did it, right? I mean, when we saw
mm-hmm.
beads, we thought, beads are awesome. We're going to start using those, you know, instead of quills,
yeah.
perhaps. Or when we saw trade cloth, you know, that everyone makes ribbon shirts and skirts out of now, at one point, that was innovation. And so...
Oh, yeah, and you can guarantee at one point,
mm-hmm.
when they started using that,
yeah.
somebody who was 50 or 60, 70 years old,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was rawr about that.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the same story, you know. I remember being rawred at by my parents, and I have to catch myself from doing the same thing about the same stuff about the younger generations now.
Yeah. yeah.
I have to go, oh, nope, never mind. You know, I'm going to be cognizant of this. Just because they're doing it different does not take away from my experience.
Right. That's right. And, you know, one of the things that really helped me so much with that, as a shell shaker, you know, I grew up and always we used turtles. Always, always, always.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to see the young ladies coming with cans.
Yep.
And some of the older shell shakers had a lot to say about that. And I wasn't sure if I did or not. But then I heard our medicine man say this. He said, you know, the Creator talks to everyone, but he doesn't say
mm-hmm.
the same thing. He doesn't say the same words. He doesn't say the same thing to everyone. And so that really helped me, because I thought, you know, I don't know how he's guiding this person on their path.
Exactly.
You know, it may be so different.
Okay.
I was guided this way, and so far so good, but maybe this person who's 16 years old is being guided in a different way. And as long as it's not, you know, against the sacred, or, you know, the things that cannot be changed, the holy things, then
right.
It's some conversations, including the one that God just had with that person, are none of my business.
You know? Well, I've always said that each person's relationship with the divine is their personal relationship.
That's
there
right.
is no such thing as a group relationship with the divine, because everybody can be right there listening to the same elder.
Mm-hmm.
And hear the same stories while they're sitting in perfect little rows, and everybody is going to take away from that something different
right.
based on their interpretation of the world around them. And that interpretation is colored by their experience
that's right.
in the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
So every relationship is individual, you know? And so mm-hmm. you can't look at somebody and go, you're doing this wrong. I mean, you know, if you're going to say, you know, the shell shakers can only use turtles, well, then you're going to exclude tons of people from being able to do that. It's like, you know, I've seen people complain when people put, you know, tarps on a sweat ceremony or something like that instead of, you know, supposed to be, you know, hide.
We are really having such an insightful conversation. And I want to make sure that you tell us how to find you and get your music, or maybe hear you play live, or interact with your band. I want to make sure that everybody can follow up by becoming fans of Crazy Flute.
Well, you can find us on Facebook. Just type in the @ Crazy Flute 01, and you will find us on Facebook. We have our webpage, which is crazyflutemusic.com. The biggest way, like, if you can go to Spotify and iTunes and all Deezer and all the different online outlets and find our albums out there, so you can listen to them streaming. You know, you can type in Crazy Flute Music on YouTube and find us. And if you follow, like, and follow our Facebook page, when we're in between shows and the weather's not quite so cold outside, usually spring. When we don't have shows, we do this little thing called Flutin' Fridays, where me and my drummer get out on the front porch, and we just sit and cut up, and we play and talk and interact with our fans who get on there to watch us. We do that for 2 hours on Fridays, and we did that all through 2020, and shows picked up in 2021. We only did like 4 or 5 Flutin' Fridays for all of 2021. So with 2022 looking kind of the way it is,
uh-huh.
we're not like overly rushing to book a lot of shows.
Right.
What we've got is what we're going to do. And we're just going to fall back on doing Flutin' Fridays, because my wife gets behind the camera and she fields the questions and comments, and we interact with people, and we're just ourselves. We are goofy, cutting up, laughing, falling out of chairs, laughing so hard. I'm sitting there drinking pickle juice, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. You know, there is no pretense at anything. It's just, I like to think I'm having, you know, a great time with all of my friends who can't be there with me right now, but we're all interacting on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful.
Which is one of the reasons I love the technology of the internet.
Me too. Yeah, I do too. I'm so thankful for technology, because it brings us all together, you know, and it does connect us wherever every tribe and nation may be. I'm really thankful for technology today, because we got to have this beautiful conversation, and I thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure to be able to sit and talk with you and with everybody, you know, who's out there. So, and as a thing, you know, before any of this ends for the day, congratulations on your nominations at the Red Carpet Music Award.
Thank you.
And on the award that you just won, the Outstanding Something or Another Award.
Legacy Award. Yeah, thank
you. There
you
go.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
That's a wonderful treat. And we also have to thank the Silver Arrow Award for that.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. So we're so grateful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Congratulations and all of that. And once again, congratulations to you and your band on these tremendous blessings that are coming your way. And I can't wait to see many more.
We're just happy to be out here doing music, because that's, you know, I can't think of anything better to do. I've had all kinds of jobs in my life, and this is the one thing I'm truly in love with doing. So
that's wonderful, Don Karima. And it's wonderful that you joined us today. It's wonderful that all our friends joined us today. And we can't wait to be with all of you again the next time on this show. I'm Dr. Don Karima, and in case no one's told you today, oh, the Creator loves you, and all of us here, we do too. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.